The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'll continue this morning, the fourth morning, to talk about the Buddhist idea, the Buddha's teachings or discussion of anukampa. And I tentatively translate this word as care. And in doing so, I'm connecting, I'm bringing into Buddhist language in a word, English word, which is very rare. I don't really know or recognize it's ever really been used, certainly not prominently, in the translations of the Buddhist teachings from Pali and many other the translations coming out of Asian Buddhism. And why English translators haven't chosen the word care is a topic in itself, and I don't know the answer to that. But by translating anukampa as care, I am connecting it consciously with a very simple and ordinary word, common word, used in the English language, which maybe, as I think about it, has a kind of humbleness to it, but that it's really central and it's really important in so many central places in our lives. We talk about health care. If you go to a hospital, there's all kinds of departments that have to do with care. There's the intensive care unit. There is palliative care. There is spiritual care, where hospital chaplains work. We use the word, and then caregiver. The word caregiver in English certainly can be someone who's a health caregiver, but a caregiver is also someone who offers child care, or a caregiver of the elderly in nursing home care. A caregiver can be someone who is unpaid, someone who at home, a family member, has become a caregiver of someone at home who needs care. And the English word care, in the sense of care, that caring for someone's, often can mean the care for someone's needs. And those needs are physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, social. We have all these needs as human beings. And to care and to offer care for all of who we are. And what's, I think, nice for me about the word care and this comprehensive way in which it's used is that it's not just caring for people because they suffer, and not just caring for people because they have the potential of suffering and to help them not suffer, but there's a much broader sense of caring for people because they're people, they're humans, and we have needs, we have possibilities, and we want to kind of live in a world of mutual care. And this idea of care, caring, is so central to human culture, human societies, but it's often forgotten as people become adults. I've known people who, only when they had children themselves, were surprised to realize that their parents did the same for them. The tremendous amount of caregiving that's offered to a baby, caregiving that's offered for a child as they're growing up. Hopefully, that's what's offered. And then sometimes the tables are turned, and when parents become elderly, then it's the children who are the caregivers who are offering care in return. And a lot of this happens quietly within families. It's not big public news that the couple down the street have been staying up all night caring for their crying sick baby. But it's a remarkable act of care that this happens in all kinds of ways. And we care for people when they're happy, we provide them more opportunities. One of the great ways of caring for our children as they grow up in our communities are all the people who volunteer to be sports coaches, soccer coaches, and baseball coaches, and volleyball coaches, and it's offering care and creating a healthy environment to grow up in. So the word care I see as being broader in application, broader in concern than the word compassion. And this is what we seem to see in the teachings of the Buddha, that as important as compassion is in Buddhism, it's not in the ancient teachings of the historical Buddha. The word karuna, often translated as compassion, is really reserved for a very deep meditation practice and a state of mind, a state of heart that it's radiant and abundant and expansive. But that itself, that word is not chosen, not used in terms of expressing the motivation for doing good in the world, supporting people in the world. And the word that's used for that is anukampa. And as I've been saying, it has another meaning than just caring for people suffering and orienting around avoiding causing suffering. It's caring for people's welfare and happiness, a broader term. The Buddha never talks about cultivating anukampa. It seems that he just assumed that it's there. And in that sense, the Buddha in the suttas seems to suggest that anukampa is what's there when one has abandoned ill will and hatred. One abides it with anukampa for the world, the Buddha says. One abides having anukampa, having care for the world, when one has abandoned ill will and hatred. So this idea that we're letting go of something, ill will, hatred, you know, those are big terms, powerful words, but they also represent in very, very subtle, small ways in which we maybe, that ill will that might be there, or even hatred, in a little frustration, irritation we have, or annoyance we have with people or with ourselves. The slightest little kind of, it can be there in aversion to people, or to things, or to ourselves, criticalness even. And when the mind has, or the heart has really shed its ill will, its hatred, its aversion, its irritation, its tendency to complain, really become quiet and open from this, then it's then that anukampa for the world arises. In this sense, anukampa it's not doing something. It's not conceiving and thinking about may all beings be well, may all beings be free of suffering. It's almost like the absence of something allows this part of our heart to shine, to be here. And that's certainly my experience, that the more I've shed, the more I've settled, the more I've been open through meditation practice and quieter and become more sensitive to it, there seems to be arising a care that sometimes takes the expression of compassion, sometimes takes the expression of loving kindness or friendliness, but that the caringness is more fundamental. The caring, the sense of caring, the capacity to care, the feeling of tenderness, of resonance with people, and that movement is broader, more simple, and it's kind of a humble thing because it doesn't come from active thinking and reflecting. And so in a hospital, when someone is a caregiver in a hospital, someone comes into ICU and is sick, we don't ask or maybe even expect that the health worker has to love the person who's there or has to have lots of compassion for the person. They might have lots of compassion, but we do expect them to care for the person. And it's possible to care and be caring for people for whom one does not have a particular strong feeling of friendliness towards them that's not automatic, or that one hasn't cultivated or touches into compassion or reflects on compassion. Care can be a much simpler, more direct activity that doesn't require as much from us as compassion or friendliness or loving kindness does. I don't want to diminish the value of compassion and loving kindness. They're fantastic and powerful parts of human life, but they do require a little bit more from us. And to have it in the forefront all the time and call on it in difficult situations might be for some people more difficult to do than to simply have a very simple, ordinary caringness to care for what is there. So much so, so care is so much part of human life, so central, that that maybe we are not human beings, but maybe at the heart we're human carings. That maybe care is so fundamental to what it means to be a human being. We're social creatures, social animals. We depend on the care of others. They depend on the care of us in some way. That maybe care is the most fundamental thing of a life. Maybe what if instead of looking at human beings as either, maybe it's more fundamental than the ideas of that we're either matter or spirit, that there's some essence inside of us. It's a spiritual essence, or we're not spiritual. It's kind of a material kind of aspect of human life. That this kind of criteria and that approach, maybe, is certainly not the kind of way in which the Buddha talks about human life. But what if what's fundamental is not some essence, not some core aspect of who we are that is a thing, but rather the fundamental aspect of what it means to a human being is caring, is to care. And over and over again we see in the teachings of the Buddha that directly, but also mostly indirectly, he expresses care. He's caring. He's caring about the relationship between people. So much of the teachings in the Buddha have been interpreted to be ethical in nature because they have to do with caring relationships, taking care of how we relate to people, that we relate to people so we don't harm them and we don't harm ourselves. The Buddha said that one of the motivations for not harming people is not karuna, not compassion, but in his teaching at least, the motivation for not harming people is in fact anukampa, this care, and this caring. And perhaps caring is a little bit of an activity, an action. And that goes along to the Buddha's tendency to understand human beings in terms of their actions, not in terms of some fundamental essence, you know, that we are this way. But as if anukampa is an activity, an action, more the fundamental who we are, it comes from letting go of all the things that get in the way, including conceit, including self-preoccupation, including, you know, it's almost as if the anukampa, caring, can be, or this is my experience, is not something that I do, but is something that is done out of me, out of my heart, when I'm most free, when I'm most settled, most calm, most open, most present for the experience. Anukampa is not a thing. It's the activity of being human when we're most grounded and centered and quiet. It's simple. It's humble because it's not connected to the conceptions and ideas of who we are. It's not a thing, but it is something we can allow for, to allow for the heart's capacity to care, to let ourselves become human carings, human carers. We become the caretakers and caregivers of the world, not because we should, not because it's an obligation, but because it's the fundamental functioning of a liberated and free heart and mind. So to care for the world, is to care for our relationships to others. It's a beautiful thing. And I hope that I don't have to convince you. What I really hope is that you're inspired in meditation practice or in just the practice of real of mindfulness to discover underneath the layers of reactivity and fear and tension, anxiety, desires, attachments that we might have, that there exists a functioning, an activity, a movement, an action, a flow out of us, which maybe is anukampa. And maybe you'll choose a different word to translate it besides care, other than care, and that's fine. Not sure exactly how these words are going to be translated. What's important is this fundamental, humble, beautiful qualities of being that we allow to operate from us from this deep dharmic place inside. So thank you for the chance to talk this way and think about it, and we'll continue with one more talk on anukampa tomorrow. Thank you.